This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Eli Manning, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Eli. All right, all right, all right. We are ready to roll right into it. Michael K., Don LeGreca, Peter Rosenberg, till 7. A lot of things to do, but I will just tell you this one thing before we dive in to last night's Monday Night Football game. When I walked into Rogers Center today to do this fine radio show, where tonight there'll be a Yankee-Blue Jay game, do you know what the temperature was, Don? Do you know what it was?
84.
The temperature was 61.
Oh, no.
Omen? I think so.
Well, at some point, it's going to happen, right?
Well, I mean, tonight. It's got to happen tonight if it's 61 when I walked in.
Yeah, but I don't think history is going to, you know, smile down on the fact that Aaron Judge hit 61 and the temperature when Michael Kay walked into the building at 2:15 today.
Listen, I'm looking
61.
For signs. I'm
if
looking
60,
for signs.
Now, his first at bat, he's leading off the game. Little Austin Matthews throwing out the first pitch tonight in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Then Judge hits the home run, and it's 61 degrees outside.
And the humidity may be 62%. You know what I'm talking about? See what I'm doing here?
I see what you're doing.
You see,
you
right?
Something happen here.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to become a thing.
It's a thing. It's a thing. Six games in a row without a home run. We'll get into that later. Right now, it's time for Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So, you ever, like, lying by a pool, very hot day, sweating, just reveling in the way your body feels, it's all warm and everything, and somebody just takes a bucket of ice cubes and pours it all over your body? That's what Giant fans got yesterday. A little wake-up call. Not yet. It's not
I like cubes.
Yet. You like cubes. It's not yet. I think there's improvement. They've got a good coach. Seems like the GM is smart. But Don and Peter, what people have not calculated into all of the excitement, they are digging out from the wreckage of Dave Gettleman. Everything this guy did, everything except picking Barkley. And really, if you had to do it again, wouldn't you pick the quarterback, Josh Allen, rather than Barkley? But anyway, Barkley played well again. But this guy's legacy is that Joe Shane is going to need at least 2 or 3 years to just dig out from under the wreckage. They have no offensive line. The guy they signed for all that money, Galladay, got 3 balls thrown to him. He dropped 2 of them. One a big, big, big drop, and he'd been complaining about it. So this is the legacy of Gettleman, guys.
Really, the only thing that I came out of it where you can kind of applaud Gettleman was the Thomas draft pick. He's been terrific. But otherwise, the line still stunk. And
Evan Neal was a come-to-the-NFL moment.
Hey, you went into this year, because I think most people kind of felt like that Daniel Jones wasn't the guy. But you wanted to see if, indeed, Dable can make something out of him. And I think he has proven that Jones can play in this league, just not at a level to win you a championship. But he's an NFL quarterback. He's just not the 6th overall pick, and he's not really taking you anywhere. But you wanted to find out if you got a coach, and I think they're a well-coached team. I do.
They played hard last night.
They play hard, and they do all the right things, although I honestly, and nothing really came of it, Michael, so I'm not sure if it even made the game stories or was something that really can even be critiqued. I thought Dable did not handle the end of the half well. I thought that was a poor. To give the ball to the Cowboys on 4th down, to run a play with 10 seconds left that took all of 2 seconds, and an incomplete pass to allow the Cowboys to attempt a 59-yard field goal with a kicker that's 3 for 3 in field goal 60-plus. I mean, I thought he could have ran a play, throw end zone, leave them no time on the clock, but to run a 2-second play I thought was not the right move. But overall, I think he's a great coach. I think he's doing the right thing on a team that's going to take a while to get the erosion out of it, and to pick the scab that was Gettleman's era, and it's going to take a long time. And so that game kind of went the way I thought. They play hard. Cowboys would find a way to win. I'm proud of the way Jones played, but they don't have any weapons. Their offensive line isn't very good, and the better team won. So I'm not going to freak out over it. And anybody that thought that this was a team that could compete with Philadelphia or go to the playoffs hasn't paid attention to what's happened to this team over the last 5 years and the devastation that Shane's going to have to try to get over.
And then to add insult to injury, it's just an awful story. Sterling Shepard, who came back from an incredibly tough injury to come back from, he came back in a hurry, the Achilles tear. Now he tears his ACL. He's out for the rest of the year. That might be the last game he ever played as a Giant, a non-contact injury. And by the way, the last offensive play of the game for the Giants. So that's a big loss for them. And if anything, Galladay has to earn some of that $72 million now and play better, because you just lost Sterling Shepard, who was a real security blanket for Daniel Jones. That was an awful loss. Now, as for Jones, I don't know if you felt the same way, Don and Peter, but that's a toughness that you want in your quarterback. He got just savaged out there. He was running for his life, getting hit constantly. It was a porous offensive line. The Cowboys' defense was all over him, and you know what? He kept getting up and getting back to the huddle and doing his thing.
Hey, I like him. He's not a franchise quarterback, but I think he's a quarterback. You know, Peter, he's an NFL quarterback. If the Giants part ways with him, he'll get a job. He'll play.
But I don't think he'll ever start for a team.
But the problem is,
he's going to be like Sam Darnold.
He gets graded on a level of the sixth overall pick.
Yep.
If the Giants had moved, if there was a franchise quarterback that got hurt and Daniel Jones was the backup, you'd be like, I like this kid. I give this kid a chance. He might be able to do something here. He's got a heart of a lion. He's got some athleticism.
Dude, he's Taylor Heineke, dude.
Let's give him a shot here. Let's see if he can do something. You know, but because he's the sixth overall pick and you got to make a decision on his future, you realize he's not the guy. So kind of wrong place, wrong time for him. But he gutted it out last night, did what he could. And the coaching staff is utilizing him the best way they can to try to make it work for them.
But I think we're sort of burying the lead in how we're discussing this, because we're talking about his toughness. We're talking about the game specifically. But it sounds to me like all three of us, regardless of how porous the line was, I think all three of us came away going, yeah, it's not him. We feel that after last night's game, you've seen enough. That's how I felt.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't feel that way.
You didn't come away. That's where I'm at.
Because I don't think Tom Brady in his prime could have done anything with that kind of pressure. I mean, a quarterback needs time. He had no time whatsoever. And if anything, I think his number one skill set is his maneuverability and his elusiveness. Okay. And otherwise, he would have been sacked 15 times if he wasn't that guy. So I don't completely say he's not the guy. I mean, if you said you have to give me an answer, I'd say, okay, he's not. But it's not off last night. It's not off last night. I think he showed a toughness that you need in your leader.
If you look at the stats, and this kind of went around social media, and Sean O'Hara talked about it earlier this morning, that if you look at the first 2 years of Josh Allen, the statistics are eerily similar. And what did Buffalo do? They went out and got
Stephon Diggs.
And now Hill goes to Tua. Like, you start getting weapons for quarterbacks, and all of a sudden things look a lot different. So is it possible that if the Giants went out and got a couple of really good wide receivers, strengthened that offensive line, that you couldn't maybe find something in Daniel Jones? Sure. But the problem is, Peter, you know, how do you handle this? Because you got to go out and get the wide receiver, but you also have to make the decision on, do you bring Daniel Jones back? Like, so is there enough information that you're going to go out there and get that big-time wide receiver and then bring Daniels back under the idea that wide receiver will bring out the best in Daniel Jones, and what if he doesn't? Like, so they've got to make a decision now. They got to give him a contract. Do you franchise him and pay him big money, go out and spend big money on a free agent wide receiver, and then what if it doesn't work? And you're starting from scratch again, wasted another year. So the timing is just all off for the Giants here. It really is.
Well, here's my biggest concern, though. I don't know if you guys feel like this, but Dable has them playing so hard, and they will win some games.
Yeah.
And if they win six games, right, they're not getting a franchise quarterback. I mean, they really have to hit rock bottom unless they trade all of their draft arsenal to move up. So being competitive is not a good thing this year, especially if Daniel Jones is not that quarterback.
But you know, this kind of gets into the tanking conversation. Where is it written that the only way to be successful in this league is to get a high draft pick and draft a franchise quarterback? That's not the way Seattle did it. They were able to get Russell Wilson in the third round. Right? So it's not the way, you know, New England did it with Tom Brady. So there's ways, you know, find that diamond in the rough. Develop that quarterback. That's one of the reasons Dable's here, is because he could develop a quarterback, right? So maybe with the 15th overall pick, you find a quarterback, you develop into a big-time quarterback, or you find somebody that isn't working someplace else and bring them here.
Then why can't he develop Jones then?
Well,
I mean, if you're going to go to a third-rounder, this guy was a sixth pick in the first round. He's got to have some skills.
Right, but the problem as opposed to the draft is that you're going to have to pay to find out. Because are you going to give him a contract, Michael, off of what might be a 6-11 season in which he's got okay stats, not great? Pay him a franchise quarterback, which would be very, very expensive if you franchise him.
See, but that's, I wouldn't do money. That, Don, all because right. He's not. No one would pay him that. So if you sit him down and listen, Daniel, we'll give you 2 years at $20 million. You could prove yourself. He might take it. He's a smart guy, because he's not going to get franchise money anywhere. Now, Todd McShay took out the quarterbacks in the draft coming up. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, those are the top three. Tyler Van Dyke and Anthony Richardson, according to him, loaded with traits but have disappointed. And he said he's talking to NFL scouts, and these three quarterbacks are rising fast. BYU, Jaren Hall, mm-hmm. Texas, Hendon Hooker, and Fresno State, Jake Haner. So there could be as much as five quarterbacks in the first round.
Now, getting back to Jones, the early indication is that the Giants don't know if Jones is the guy. Now, Dable and Shane came here, had 3 years worth of film to watch Daniel Jones as an NFL quarterback, and decided not to give him the fifth-year option. So they either didn't see it or weren't sure. So If they saw something, because remember, you're going to draft a quarterback, and all you're doing is watching film from college, right, and deciding this is the guy that I want to be my franchise quarterback. They've watched the guy play in the NFL for the New York Giants for 3 years and had not decided to give him that fifth-year option. They wanted to wait and see. They needed to see more. So if I had to guess, not having any evidence but just anecdotal information, is that I would think that they don't believe in Jones.
Well, they don't play like they believe in him.
I don't think they're testing him. That's true, Peter. Well, they're not having him open it up. But he was pressured 24 dropbacks yesterday. Most pressures in his four-year career.
I'm not
a quarterback this season.
I'm not trying to kill the guy for last night. It was a lot last night. What I'm just saying is, here we are, another season, another week. Every week that passes, you don't have an answer. And to me, that is the answer.
And they've got to have all this cap space to be able to go out and get him weapons. Is that the quarterback you want to get the weapons for? And they're going to have to try to determine that. Now, I like a little bit what I saw, but are you ready to say this is our guy to be able to move forward with? Remember, this is a league where guys are chucking the ball all over the place. The Giants have completed one pass this year in the first three games over 25 yards. Like, so it's all been dink and dunk. Used his athleticism with his legs. But come on, guys. As much as we like him, and he's tough, and he's built like Eli, and he sounds like Eli, and he looks like he's got the leadership of Eli, does he have the skill set to win in this league on a big-time level is what ultimately has to be determined. And if I had to answer right now, I would say no.
One other thing I want to say about last night's game. How about my guy Jerry Jones has a nice backup quarterback there. Cooper Rush looked pretty good. Got some talented players around him. C.D. Lamb. This is all Jerry Jones. Great defense. So knock him at your own risk, Don. Knock him at your own risk.
Wait. Well, then you got to throw a lot of compliments over to the Giants' former offensive coordinator, who also believed him and brought him to the Giants on the practice squad. The Giants had him.
Right.
You know, so, hey, listen, Dak is the better quarterback, and he's played nice. I mean, listen, they've got, even without Cooper, they've got some weapons there. They've got a nice running game, a good offensive line, and they still have some weapons for him to throw the football to. Cowboys are a much more talented team. You want to throw accolades at Jerry Jones, I still don't think it's Hall of Fame worthy.
Oh, yes.
But take a look at their offensive line and how they built that. They built it through the draft. The Giants, it's like the Knicks. The Giants have not had a draft pick on the offensive line they've given a second contract to.
Are you concerned the way Evan Neal played yesterday, or is that just growing pains for a young player?
Yeah, it's growing pains. Listen, we had the same complaints about Andrew Thomas's first year. And now statistically, he's one of the best offensive linemen in the league. So I'm not going to get crazy early on. There's a lot of issues in the guts of that offensive line. But it's not the worst offensive line in the league. But I don't want to judge the current regime on their draft picks of offensive linemen. But I certainly can Reese and Gettleman, who couldn't get a second contract. I mean, it wasn't like they weren't using first-round picks to get offensive linemen, guys, and they haven't been able to put anything together. And the Cowboys have built themselves a tremendous offensive line, primarily through the draft, and Jerry deserves credit for that, yes.
That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple-blended, triple-distilled, and triple-cask-matured Irish whiskey. Remember, everyone, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Yankees and the Blue Jays tonight, and the Mets and the Marlins as well. So, if the Mets take care of business at Citi Field in this two-game set against the Marlins, then they know they're going to play the Braves and they're going to have a lead. And those three games, and we're going to get into the minutiae of what Major League Baseball should do, because Hurricane Ian is crashing onto the Florida coast, and it's going to affect Atlanta over the weekend with really torrential rain. So what should Major League Baseball do? Because they have to play these games. And with the wild card round scheduled for next week, and there's no place to put them.
There's no place to put it. I mean, the one thing that they could do, I guess, looking at the hourlies, is maybe move Friday's game to the afternoon, try to squeeze it in before the rain comes in. Braves have three sellouts. And listen, I know, especially coming out of COVID, nobody wants to forfeit a chance to have a full building three straight nights. But is there a way that, Michael, they can move that game and MLB can maybe financially compensate them in some way, shape, or form? I don't. But you can't move. You can't play three games. How are you supposed to make them up?
I don't know. Now, Thursday's an off day, so maybe move them to Thursday. Maybe do a day-night doubleheader on Thursday. It's an off day for both teams, I believe.
But you've got to get creative in some way to be able to get those games played.
Now, that would stink for the Mets, because then I don't know if you could start both DeGrom and Scherzer on normal rest, and you don't want to push them because they're going to be important in the postseason. So after the Braves, the Mets come home to play the Nationals. It's tough. Well, again, we'll break down what they can do, but it's a difficult call for Major League Baseball because the weather does not look good. All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Why don't we start off with Joe in Rutherford. Joe.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Big-time Giants fan. And listen, that's why I'm calling. I saw the game last night, and I've been a Giants fan my entire life. I've seen the horrible quarterbacks we've had, from Danny Cannell to Dave Brown to Kerry Collins, the Kurt Warners, Eli. I've been through them all. And just for the reasons that you guys have been talking about, pressure that Daniel Jones got yesterday, you know, 21 times, sacked 5 times. You know, I feel like it's been like this for the 4 years, not just last night. You know, for the last 4 years, he hasn't had an offensive line. He didn't have Saquon for 2 years. He has no weapons. I just feel like, you know, he's shown enough that I think everybody sees that he does have some athletic ability, and he probably could be a quarterback in the NFL, like Don just said earlier. So why not give him a chance? Give him a chance with a real line, some real weapons, and, you know, well, I think the kid can shine.
Well, Joe, that's the job now of the coach and the GM. They have to see beyond what we're seeing. Well, and they see him every day in practice. So what is he showing them in practice? So what he's doing on the field is secondary to what they're seeing, the way he prepares, the way he practices, the way he retains information, takes on the offensive load, all of that. They've got to make that decision. That's why they get paid the big bucks.
But you made a really good point too, Michael. And I mean, we're all looking at this as, you know, franchise him, give him a big time contract. Hey, if you still don't know after this year, then he becomes a free agent. All right, Daniel, see if you can get a better offer. Here's what we're going to offer you. And if you can get a better offer someplace else, then good luck to you. But we'd like to make it work, but we can't give you big time money because you haven't earned it. So is there a way to get him? At least from a quarterback standpoint, kind of a bargain basement price as a free agent, because really, who is going to offer him big-time money when he becomes a free agent?
Nobody. That's why they're in a position of strength. They've got some leverage. You want to play in the NFL? You want to continue to start? Here's 2 years, $15 million. 2 years, $20 right. million, which is nothing, peanuts for a quarterback.
And they do have, they will have a lot of cap space, it's my understanding, after this year. So they could still draft a quarterback in the first round if they want to.
Right.
And give Daniel the contract, and so that, you know, Daniel knows, hey, if it doesn't work out, we still drafted maybe the next quarterback and still use other picks in free agency to be able to strengthen the line, you know, get him some weapons, because they don't have a ton of weapons. They have nice players. They've got a bunch of – doesn't feel like they've got like a bunch of two or three wide receivers. They don't have like one big stud. You know, Sterling Shepard's a really good number two or three receiver, right? I like their receivers as a core. But there's nobody that pops to you that, never mind Odell Beckham, just somebody that you really could consider a number one go-to guy.
We've got the Mets starting lineup. I want to give that to you right now against the Marlins tonight. It's brought to you by Nissan. And I don't know if Peter wants to even try to attack this, but it looks somewhat familiar.
Okay.
It does.
The question is, how familiar?
Yeah, that's my question. How familiar?
By the way, Cookie Carrasco gets the start.
Give me my little cookie.
Yeah.
So it feels like Brandon Nimmo's leading off in center.
Oh, he's so right.
Which is good news.
So this would beg the question of how familiar are we? Can we – any chance we're talking about the ball player?
Batting second? No.
That's a little too familiar.
Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, there you go.
Keep it going. Just
let it come to you, baby.
Yeah,
let it come to you.
Really feel it.
Feel
this, it. This is because I'm going to tell you right now. This is your lineup.
This is your lineup.
Really?
Yeah. This is your lineup.
This is nothing that will flummox you.
Really?
Yeah. Don't overthink it. Just do it.
Well, that means I'm just give me a break here. I'm confused at three. Let me go to Alonzo at four.
Right.
Vogel back at five.
Yeah, the big man.
I'm a big boy. Canna at six.
Mark Canna?
Yeah.
There you go. Keep it rolling.
Take a deep breath.
Don't overthink it.
Escobar seven.
Edgardo Escobar.
Yeah. This is where I might get tripped up, Don.
I'm at eight, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guillorme.
You overthought it.
You overthought.
You
made it sound like it was something.
The number three batter is Jeff McNeil.
Oh, McNeil, what's wrong with me?
He's playing second.
Yeah. The number eight batter is Tyler Naquin, the right fielder.
Okay,
and batting ninth and catching, it's Jimmy McCann.
James McCann.
Yeah.
Jimbo.
Yeah.
And then Cookie Carrasco.
Yeah, Cookie Carrasco. That is tonight's starting lineup for the Mets. Brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you.
Sure.
And Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Giants lost against the Cowboys yesterday, so their first loss in the Brian Daboll era. And it was a rough game. Not too many highlights, so we've gone over a lot of it. And the offensive line, probably the biggest culprit of all. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes, the ESPN app, and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, here's another depressing stat. Giants do not have a first-half TD in 9 of their last 10 games, dating back to last year, including 7 straight. So, I mean, your offense is pretty much Gano. That's it. You got to get in the end zone. That gives the defense some breathing room, too.
Well, and what is it now, 20 straight games they haven't scored in the final 2 minutes of a half? First
Not
half.
Not good. Not good.
And they finally broke when they scored against Tennessee at the game. I'm getting a lot of, I don't know if you guys are too, a lot of support for Jones on Twitter. That he hasn't been given a chance, they haven't had any weapons, bad offensive line. I get that, all right? And I don't think we've seen the true Daniel Jones, but in spurts. But you have to make tough decisions sometimes without all the information. Is he the guy that's going to lead you to the promised land, or is he just, at best case scenario, a good quarterback that can win you some games?
Tough call.
I mean, are you saying that this is a diamond in the rough, that this is the next great quarterback in this league, and the offensive line and the coaching and the lack of weapons has deprived us of that? Or is he culpable too? I mean, remember, I was supporting Sam Darnold. I mean, Michael, you got it right. You know,
Sam is
not the guy. But we could have said the same things, bad offensive line, bad coaching, lack of weapons, and then he was finally given an opportunity in Carolina, and now he's an afterthought. And Carolina gave him the fifth-year option.
They regret.
Well, they certainly regret because they saw something that actually wasn't there, or at least hadn't shown itself yet, and time's certainly running out. So it's a tough call. And by them not giving the fifth-year option tells me they didn't see it from the film that they took over from Gettleman and from Judge and said, we don't see it. We need to see it this year. Are we going to get the chance to see it?
You know, you've said something a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and it resonates so much with me, Don. When you watch the Giants and the Jets play football with the quarterbacks that they have, it's like they're playing a different game than the rest of the league. With the quick strikes and the touchdowns, one after the other, big-time throws, wide receivers that get separation. We don't have that here. It's almost like the rest of the league is playing Madden, and we're playing that little game
Tech
that the guys used to vibrate. That's what Giants and Jets are doing.
Yeah, electric football, which was fun for its time, but then the 80s came.
Right, and that's exactly the parallel with the Giants and the Jets.
And that's why you can't always say bad offensive line. And obviously, Joe Burrow was able to make it work last year with a bad offensive line. Now, Joe Burrow is special, okay? And there's only a handful of quarterbacks like that in the league. But the idea when you draft somebody six overall is you're hoping that that's going to become your Joe Burrow, that that's going to become your Trevor Lawrence. And I don't think he's that. Now, and unfortunately, if this is 1986, guys – no problem. But in Steve Young said it yesterday, if you don't have a special quarterback, you're not winning a Super Bowl.
And one thing, the narrative that gets me, well, you know, Northeast football, you really can't do that. Really? Well, how much worse is the weather in New Jersey than in Buffalo? I think in Buffalo, they figured out how to have a dynamic offense in bad weather. So, please, the Bill Parcells stuff, you know, grinding, all that, run the ball because of the wind and the – please.
Okay.
Nothing's worse than Buffalo.
Right. And with global warming, we get a couple of those games in December. Otherwise, there's still a chance that, you know, in late October, it'll be 70 degrees at kickoff.
Absolutely.
All right, so you're still playing the majority of your year in shirt sleeves, you know, just trying to win games like everybody else in the league. We'd be lucky enough to get playoff games in January at MetLife Stadium.
All right, before we take your phone calls on the Giants, I do have to give you Diamond Notes brought to you by Nissan.
Sure.
So this is from Anthony DiComo, covers the Mets. Does a good job covering the Mets.
Very good.
For MLB.com. He just tweeted out, as of this moment, MLB has not discussed imminent relocation of this weekend's Mets-Braves series. More conversation could occur tomorrow, as could the idea of shifting game days and times due to Hurricane Ian. For now, the league and teams are tracking the storm and gathering info. Now, one thing I want to remind everybody about. In 2017, because of a hurricane, the Yankees and the Rays had their series moved from St. Pete to Citi Field. So there is precedent for this. So just go, find yourself a dome stadium that's open, either in Houston or in Arlington, Texas, or if it's open here in Toronto, I'm not sure if the Blue Jays are home this weekend. Find a dome stadium and switch it there right now. I know the Braves are going to get hit with a loss of attendance, but do you want to completely sacrifice the integrity of the season by having these three games rained out? But when are you going to play him?
But here's the thing. This is why baseball needs to be more proactive, okay? I know they're tracking the storm and all that, but you're just seeing the rain scheduled for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all right? You're not going to be able to get these three games in over the weekend. At the very least, move at least one game to Thursday. Announce it now so that fans can go. It's supposed to be a gorgeous day on Thursday in Atlanta. So get your full house on Thursday. And maybe, as you track it, be open to possibly playing a doubleheader on Thursday.
Yeah, day-night doubleheader. Get your two crowds.
Right, get your two crowds. I mean, it may not be as well as it was if you had single on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, but you get your crowds, and then there's only one game to make up. And then you look at it, and then if you wake up and you find on Thursday and you find out that there's a window Friday afternoon, then play the third game then. And the players won't mind because they'll get Saturday and Sunday off.
And if you have to wait, and before you play that third game, Thursday is an off day for everybody before the wild card starts. So you could squeeze it there.
But you got to
make the moves now.
Here's what you do. You make the announcement right now. We're playing at least one game on Thursday. Have the Braves start selling some tickets, and then you kind of feel your way on whether it's going to be, what time the game is going to be. Maybe you get a day-night doubleheader. Heck, why not just announce the day-night doubleheader now?
I think Major League Baseball is always afraid of having egg on its face. Like, let's say it doesn't rain in Atlanta over the weekend. Okay, but you were proactive. If it doesn't rain in Atlanta, so what? You got the games in.
But I'm seeing 82% chance of rain on Saturday. You know, and listen, we're gonna have trouble next week with, you know, trying to get those Met National games and the Phillies. They've got games to play too, and they mean something by the time we get next week because of this hurricane. Looks like Sunday. Just looking at Sunday. Yeah, 42% chance of rain. So, but looks like,
I mean, you could get it in Sunday then. 42 is not terrible.
But the point is you've got, you know, Saturday looks like it's going to be a real washout. And
now,
Friday looks a little dicey at night.
Dacomo goes on to say, bottom line is it's unlikely a decision will come down until tomorrow. The Mets are set to fly to Atlanta after their series finale against the Marlins tomorrow. Relocation time changes may still occur, but not until more information is known about the storm's ultimate path and severity. So that is today's Diamond Notes brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store on NissanUSA.com today. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but we've been saying this forever. Baseball is playing its sport essentially in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. All of these beautiful ballparks that were built, they didn't think about, like, ordering everybody to have a retractable roof so you don't have to play the silliness, these games. It's ridiculous. And now we're another 50 years away from a full generation of stadiums again. You put yourself in this situation because you didn't put retractable roofs on every new ballpark. They didn't even order it for the Twins to do it. I keep rooting every year for the Twins to make the World Series. I mean, people will actually have frostbite. They're playing outdoors in Minneapolis. They thought that was a good idea. We're playing games in 1930. They haven't evolved at all. Why should a sport be beholden to weather? Now you can say, well, the Rays have a dome. Well, yeah, in cases like that where a hurricane could really impact Tampa, I get it. But for the most part, you're going to get in your games. You're not going to be saddled with doubleheaders. And I still wonder what the viability of it, that every team that has a brand-new ballpark, they put a retractable roof on it. They did it at the U.S. Open. I know it's a smaller scale, but they did it. A previous structure was put with a retractable roof. I don't get why baseball sits there on its hands and allows itself to be in 1930 at Sportsman's Park.
And baseball should fund it. Put a fund together where you can get baseball to pay for it. Baseball ends up, they'll make it back. Because the games that do get played, when it's 45 degrees and drizzly, you want that when you could have had 40,000 people in your ballpark and now you've got 5 because the weather is awful? And all the concessions you don't sell and the parking of the people not coming and the merchandise that doesn't get sold. Game got played, but did you maximize the money? It would pay for itself. Fund it like the NFL did with the new stadiums. Fund it through baseball, and that way you can get these retractable roofs. And then what Manfred should say is, going forward, no Major League Baseball building can be built and games be played if it's not with a retractable dome. And maybe it's not going to be in our lifetime, but at least for future generations of fans, they'll know never have to worry about this garbage again.
All right, let's go to Mike in Wisconsin. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Frequent caller, calling. Well, I love your show.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm a Niner fan, but I got to stick up to Jones here just for a second. I mean, regardless of what he's done or hasn't performed in the past, it's funny how so many people can watch one game and see so many different things. There is no way the Giants lost the game the same way the Cowboys won the game, offensive line on both sides. They protect the kid. The Giants could not get to that kid no matter what, and they got to Jones. Jones, he was weak on third down, 3 for 11. I mean, if you want to get on him for that. Receiving Kenny Galladay is useless. Their receiving corps are very weak. But if you watch last night's game, you cannot blame Jones for that loss.
No.
I mean, it's just, you know, overall.
Now, we agree with you, Mike, but I mean,
really
there is a body of work beyond last night. So, I mean, have you seen anything before that?
That's what I'm saying. Regardless of what he's done in the past or the way he has performed. But for last night's game, Michael, last night's game was not his fault, Mike.
I agree. I mean,
he missed a few receivers. And, again, I'm saying, the corp, the receiving they have is very weak. The Cowboys did a great game of tackling. They allowed no yards after the catch. The Giants caught the ball. The Cowboys tackled immediately. They were on it. If you look at the stats, yards after the catch, the Cowboys receivers were running free more than the Giants.
Both things can be true, where you can applaud him for his effort last night, but still ask yourself, is he the quarterback of the future?
That's the thing.
We're having two different conversations. Last night aside,
he didn't lose them the game last night. However, but what you can say was, well, here's my question, guys. Was a football game played last night?
Yes.
Was he capable, even if it was difficult, was he capable of potentially showing you something last night?
Yeah, it was very difficult for him to do that, but yeah.
Absolutely. But it was a totally tough opportunity, but he did not do anything. And the problem is, in other weeks in which they were not dealing with the Cowboys front, he still hasn't done anything yet to make us believe. Again, no one's saying he's terrible, but at this point, if you were to tell me, you asked the question earlier, does someone believe he's a diamond in the rough? He could be one of the top quarterbacks. If you told me that you thought that after the last 2.5 years, I think you were insane.
Yeah, I don't think anybody thinks it. I mean, he has put stuff out on tape that doesn't impress you yet. But, I mean, the thing that impresses you about him is his maneuverability in the pocket, and he would have been sacked a lot more if he wasn't so quick on his feet. But Don brought this up earlier, and I know he's an outlier. Burrow got hit over and over and over and took the team to the Super Bowl. So the great ones rise above it, and I think we can all agree at this point, Daniel Jones doesn't seem like a great one, but he didn't have much of a chance yesterday. Even for a quarterback, that's okay. He didn't have much of a chance.
He gave him a great chance to win the game last night. He really did. And if you're a Daniel Jones fan, that game could be evidence where there might be something there. But is Tennessee a great team? Is Carolina a great team? The Giants won those games, but it certainly wasn't the offense that led them.
Right.
Again, this is not – we're not making a decision off of last night. We're looking at the body of work. And the Giants made a decision at the beginning of the season and didn't give him the fifth-year option because they didn't know. And certainly their game plan, guys, seems like they're really asking him to manage the game. So do they have faith in him?
Let's take a brief time out. More of your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. We've got a lot of stuff to do today. Still have to talk about Aaron Judge sitting on 60. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and on the ESPN app. And you can listen on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to John in West Hampton. John.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Good.
Michael, I want to direct this primarily to you. I watched the K-Rod broadcast.
Yeah.
And in 60 years of watching baseball, I learned more watching you and the K-Rod cast with A-Rod and Bonds and with the Rocket than I have in 60 years of watching the game. I thought it was spectacular.
Thanks, man. That's really nice. Okay. I mean, what I feel bad for, John, is, If Bonds came clean about what happened, he could be a broadcasting superstar. Now, he answered these questions 15 years ago, and he didn't answer it satisfactory for anybody. A-Rod has. Clemens has actually answered it on the show. But Bonds just refuses to talk about it anymore. So, kind of the rules of engagement, he was there to talk about Judge and baseball today, and I'm glad we got him, guys. But, I mean, I just told a couple of people when I was leaving the studio, if this guy ever decided to come up with a story, even if it's a lie,
right?
Just come up with a story. Your future is set as like one of, like, A-Rod is now one of the voices of baseball because he decided to come clean. Bonds is that sort of savant when it comes to talking baseball, but the only place he's really loved is in San Francisco, Don, and you know that.
Right, and what happened to Andy Pettit, what happened to Alex Rodriguez is they played in a market that kind of forced you to come clean. Like, if San Francisco's not forcing them to come clean, they love them. They're not asking any questions. They'll sit there and do a three-hour documentary on him and never mention PEDs. So he doesn't feel the need in San Francisco where he lives, where he's an instructor in spring training, where he'll make appearances at the ballpark. He's never held accountable for what he did, so why should he admit anything? Now, if he wanted to work for Fox, if he wanted to go work for another organization or maybe become a manager someday, he would be forced to do it. But, Michael, is he really forced to do it when the market that he's made his home is not holding him accountable whatsoever?
No, and he doesn't have to unless he wants a bigger future in the industry, which is out there for him. If you watched any of that on Sunday, the guy talks baseball at a PhD level. I mean, he really knows the game. I had players texting me, this is fascinating. So I think he's handcuffing himself, guys. I really do.
He must not want to do it.
That's probably it.
Because, you know, Kruko can't travel anymore because of the leg ailment that he has. So they're bringing in, you know, Sean Estes. They're bringing in Contos. They're bringing in like three or four different people to be analysts. If he wanted to be an analyst, he'd jump right in there and do it. And I think he'd have a great career at it, and I think he'd be able to jump right in there and replace Kruko someday. The fact that he's not even bothering tells me he doesn't want to. I guess he doesn't want to do that. He's just happy to do what he's doing.
All right, so somebody wrote this out for me, Don and Peter. Mm-hmm. When Judge came up in the fourth inning on Sunday, his fourth inning at bat, it was Roger, Alex, and Bonds commenting on it, right? Mm-hmm. That combined 39 All-Star games, 11 MVP awards, 22 Silver Slugger awards, 1,459 home runs, 354 wins and 7 Cy Young awards. Yeah. Has there ever been a booth, quote-unquote, that comes up to that level in terms of guys
I said this to you yesterday.
It's amazing. Peter, it's amazing. When you look at the numbers like that.
And no Hall of Famers.
No Hall of Famers.
And it's funny. Bonds and Clemens together, maybe my number one tandem of guys who, this is my issue with them not being in the Hall. Both of them are absolutely Hall of Famers to me without the PEDs. Like, I understand Clemens' second run was affected by the PEDs. I get that. And obviously, Bonds' late career San Francisco, of course, affected by the PEDs. But I'll take skinny Pittsburgh Barry Bonds and early Boston Clemens as likely Hall of Famers anyway.
No, Seinfeld Ford just texted us. And said,
when he talks.
You have to listen. He said he talks baseball, this in Bonds, like Peyton talks football on the Madden cast. He does. It's kind of amazing. But I think he's kneecapping himself. And I've got just the answer for him, guys. Just the answer.
All right.
Listen, I've told you I've taken the clear. I took it unwittingly. I did not take anything else other than that. Now, whether that's a lie or not, and he has said that, but it's not good enough for people. It's like the guy who called up yesterday. You've got to really hold Robert Saleh to the fire. But let people ask you the question. Answer it that way. I've said this before and before. My answer's not going to change. I never took any steroid knowingly to improve my performance. Now, whether it's the truth or not, you got it. It's out there. Now, Clemens came on the show and said, I have taken this to court, and I have won every single case. I never tested positive. I never did anything. And Alex has, you know, admitted to doing what he did. But Bonds is kind of like hiding in the shadows where he doesn't want you to ask him stuff. I think he's wasting his career or what could be a brilliant career as a broadcaster. But as Don said, maybe he doesn't want it. He's got a lot of money. Let's go to Dave in Belleville. Dave.
Fellas, how you doing? I guess I love all three of you, actually. Michael, you're my 12-year-old's actually favorite.
Thank you. Tell your 12-year-old thank you.
No problem, no problem. This is my take on the whole Danny Jones debacle. Will he take a hometown discount? Who really knows? Top tier two quarterbacks right now is Jimmy G next year and Lamar. Lamar will be franchised by Baltimore.
Right.
He's not going anywhere. Jimmy G, here's an outside shot. I'll go through a quick list of the upcoming 23 free agents. I know I'm getting very ahead of myself. Mayfield, Darnold, Bridgewater, Keenum, Rudolph, Brissett, Geno, Flacco, Dalton, White. Well, I keep on going.
Right.
So,
but none of them jump out at you, right?
Was that?
None of them jump out at you that you go, oh, yeah, that guy is better than Jones.
No, not at all. Now, that's where I think, I don't know if two years, $20 million does it. Because right in the low end of the market probably says maybe 18. Now, it obviously is up to the staff whether to see, do we give Jones that 18, 20 mil range to keep him? Because there'll be a Carolina or some other team that's a little wishy-washy on quarterback. They'll give him that 20, 25. You know, there's always a Dutch team.
Yeah. I don't think any great quarterback is going to shake loose. And Jimmy G, you can't say Jimmy G is better than Jones. He's better looking, but you can't say he's better. So all those quarterbacks he just named, guys, who do you say is flat out better than Jones?
No, nobody strikes me as that you can prove to me they're better. Baker Mayfield, right? It was one of the
Can you say he's definitely better?
I mean, there's potential there. He took a team to the playoffs a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm not in love with him, but I would comfortably say that he has more skills than Jones, but enough to say that that's the guy I'm going to go sign and let Jones go. Now, Lamar Jackson's interesting because he said he won't play under the franchise tag. So,
well, then he won't play.
If that gets ugly, you know, is that somebody that could shake loose to the Giants? I mean, obviously, that'd be a no-brainer if he did. You'd move on. But the idea of if not him, who? Well, that's where a good general manager, a good organization tries to find that quarterback. Everybody thinks it's got to be the first overall pick in the draft. Well, scan some of the great quarterbacks. Was Josh Allen the best quarterback coming out of the 2018 draft? Certainly is now. So we put so much in. Well, you got to get that top five pick in the draft. Yeah, most cases that's what you have to do. But you know, doesn't necessarily have to be the first overall pick. Russell Wilson certainly wasn't the first overall pick. Joe Montana wasn't the first overall pick. You know, so develop a quarterback, earn it. But the idea that I'm going to have to sign a long-term contract to Daniel Jones for more money than maybe I want to just because there isn't anybody else doesn't sound like great business to me.
Now let's take a brief time out. We're still waiting on the Yankee lineup. It's not out yet. I think at some point Judge is going to get the day off. I don't think he's going to get a day off until he hits 61 and the Yankees clinch, but he doesn't look fresh. Let's put it that way.
I would bet good money that he is not in the lineup tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Even if he doesn't hit it today?
Even if he doesn't hit it.
I don't know. But,
I mean, the magic numbers
if the Yankees win tonight and clinch, maybe there's an outside
chance. Are they really not going to clinch? The magic numbers won, okay? To give him a day off, he hasn't had one in a while.
And then you put it back in New York.
That guarantees you that you get the chance, the three in New York, to get it done. I really believe that if he plays tonight, and certainly if he hits it, it hits 61, and they clinch, he's definitely not playing tomorrow. And they'll hold 62 for the Baltimore series.
All right. We will. I've got some interesting stats about Judge against tonight's Blue Jays pitcher, Jose Berríos. Stick around for that, and we'll talk about some of what's happening with him right now. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes. You can listen on the ESPN app and, of course, on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.